Lock and load.
Nobody knew who the hell he was.
Or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey-teeny stuff working out for you?
He's now our president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.
What about that? So you're saying the rabbit ass is pregnant?
Now I gotta talk to him. See, it was all fun and games without talking, just getting the job done, but now I gotta talk to him.
So you're pregnant by the midget. And you're having twins?
Oh my God, explain how this did my company, man.
They'll understand.
I don't know. This is going to be a doozy. I might have to rehearse. And I better get going rehearsing for the company man's video, because after a while, there's some things that we can't hide.
You can say you're putting on weight. You're eating a little different.
Oh, Lord. Benjamin, where did you put your plug in?
What's that? Your phone's cut now.
Yeah, that one cut out.
How about now? I said, did I lose you or did you put earplugs in?
No, I've got my headset on. No, I'm just trying to figure out if you're joking.
This in my mind of what took place before you got pregnant with you and the midget. I'm just trying to picture all that, and I don't know.
Well, I'm trying not to.
There's advantages and disadvantages for her.
Let's let it all play out in the video, okay? I think this is perfect. I mean, why start now? I mean, everything that I do in my day gets put out on the airwaves, and we might as well, you know, I mean, the midget has already been, you know, he's established himself. It's all for the company man's video. What is the company man's video? It's where you go to the screen and you got a selection, a menu, if you will. You pick the characters, and of course me, I'm the main one, front and center, and then you can pick if you want the, well, you know, there's a wide variety. There's the lesbians, there's, well, now of course the midget has to be in, but I am. Breathe. Oh my God, my man said to me today. And then you pick your outfits, and Aaron, thank you. You've been wonderful in the wardrobe department. Would you like to explain some of them?
I can just imagine some guy clicking on Isabella pregnant in the rabbit outfit.
Yeah, but we're not talking white and full body suit. No, we're talking a pink, frilly, like, bikini bunny suit.
With ears. You got to have the ears. Ears are there. Some guys think a pregnant woman is sexy, so you may get some takers on. Breathe. Are you all right?
I don't even know. Oh, my heart. So you get the outfit, you get the different spots, you know, whether it's in the safety shack, if it's in the hopper house, if it's in the State Command, the command center. I just want to add this. You know that you have taken control of location and the rig when you make collateral damage and you weren't even there. Anybody want to take their...
Take what?
Anybody want to take a guess what happened that I was blamed for, but yet I wasn't even there?
Go ahead. I don't know.
I got a text at 6:30 in the morning that said, certain piece of heavy equipment and run into something else. And I was told that at 6:30 in the morning, I thought that maybe the text was supposed to go to somebody else. But I decided I'd wait a little bit. And so I called the rig at 8 a.m. I said, are you having some reindeer games over there that I need to know about? And he said, how do you know about this, Isabella? And I said, I just got a text about an hour and a half ago that explained that a piece of your equipment apparently needs some repair now. And I said, what do I have to do with all this? And he said, I simply told him, get that redhead out of your mind. You must stay focused while on my forklift. My allergies. And I simply said, well, my power is far-reaching if I can take control and not even be there.
What do they have, outside urinals there or outside bathrooms, porta bathrooms, or what do they have for the rig setup?
The living quarters, the thrones, I scrubbed.
I was going to say, above the urinals, they probably got your picture. And that poor guy just probably come out of there, went and drove that equipment and thought, oh, my, you know, he's a little delirious. One in the right state of mind.
You can't be either because you're asking me if there's outhouses.
I have no idea. I'm just curious.
You have no idea. What do you mean you have no idea? I scrub thrones. I'm a throne scrubber.
Well,
you can't
for the general workers, what do they have set up? I didn't know if they had a shack set up for just that.
Aaron, when was the last time you were up on location?
Well, about 3 years ago.
Well, I mean, all the sacks.
I didn't pay attention to where I took a dump at. I was just looking at the rig itself. I didn't have to go when I was there. I didn't get a tour of the
shitter. Right. You haven't been close and personal with thrones on a day-to-day basis.
I'm sure they do.
You haven't had your head in one. I can tell. I mean, the stories I can tell you. But, no, so
my head goes in a urinal all the time. Trust me.
Benjamin's still sitting there. Benjamin's sitting there right now doing some type of Google search on me going, what is she? Benjamin is perusing YouTube right now going, has her video started? Is there like the beginnings of it in the works? Did I Google her now in YouTube? Well, right now, there is... And a bunch of the company men are scratching their heads going, you know, we knew that we were creating a monster when we got started with all this, but I didn't think she was going to go this far.
She's alive.
But, you know, when you have Uncle Fetzer who starts the whole thing, and as what my one company man said, he's not just perverted, he's dirty.
Now he's a dirty old man.
No, but so you know, my knees are bothering me and all these other things that I find. And I said, well, I'm even stressed about all this. And she looked at me and she said, no. And I said, you mean I can't stress today? I wouldn't know what to do with myself if I couldn't. I'm so conditioned to it. And anyway, so I ran out and then, you know, then I went to the gas station. And I've got the brochure for the T-shirts now. And my Lord, that is blowing up. I mean, I sold like 40-some T-shirts yesterday. And so I'm standing there at the counter, and I said, have I told you about my T-shirts? And she said, no. She said, go get them, girl. So I ran out, and I grabbed the flyer, and here's the T-shirts, you guys. I love them. I love them. I love them. Fire and Fuel. Fire and Fuel. It's their business. They design these T-shirts. There isn't anywhere I didn't go today and yesterday that I didn't sell the T-shirts. And they are, and of course the image, you know, Javi always wants to know if that's my sister in the picture. I said, well, I guess it could be, because the picture that I have is a girl in cute little V-neck T-shirt, and it's got Drill Baby Drill on the front with a flag, and the big girl, the Statue of Liberty, and on the back, the Confederate flag with Rebel on the back.
That's the one you sent me. It looked pretty good.
It's smoking. She said, it's smoking, and she said, I love it. So she ordered two, and then she told me, she said, go to the store manager. I'll bet you they'll sell them here for you. Then I left her with a sheet, and I said, if you sell them for me, I'll take very good care of you. That's not the only place that's selling them for me. Then the burger place, the Shortstop in Arnagard. You guys, you all know where this place is when you're out here. It's some of the best home-cooked food with the best service you could possibly get. And they're just, I love these people. They treat me so well. You know, they're my best of friends. And you got to go in there. They have great breakfast, lunch, dinner specials. They have a burger bar. They have homemade soups and chilies. Tonight, I think it was a dinner special. I think it was potatoes and biscuits. But anyway, so they're selling the T-shirts there. And then I stood there. There was about 10 of them, 10 guys in there. And I turned around to all of them. I said, look it, guys. I said, here is my T-shirt. I said, what do you think of it? And they're all like, whoa. And I said, yeah. And I said, I've got a radio show. And by the time I left, I was handing out the cards to the show to all of them. And they're like, right on, sisters. Thank you. God bless you. It just made my... And that was after I jumped ahead, didn't I? I said I was going to go chronological order. I didn't, anyways. Stay focused.
Breaking up.
So when, what?
You broke up just a little bit.
How about now?
Put your chin on the steering wheel, a little bit to the left, and I think you'll be all right.
How
your left hand
about
and your right
now?
Knee. Perfect.
How about now?
That'll work.
Oh, the things that I do for this show. I'm at the gas station right now. I'm backed into my spot. When I got here, see, I determined last night that this is the best place for the reception. And so I get here tonight, and it's like, well, this is great, because if you got to take a break, you just run into the gas station. And then I decided I don't want to be distracted by watching all the people coming and going from the store. So I went to move the truck and back it in, and then I took my And I thought, this is bad. I'll get public disobedience for yelling at me for being in my spot. Disorderly conduct. Anyway, so I headed out, and when I got to my first rig today, and I walked in, and like I said, he was telling me, he said, look, I want to hear you laughing. And I remember the very first time that I talked to this company man was I was on my phone like a year ago, and I don't even remember what it said that got me laughing so hard. I do remember was that I was laughing so hard, I'm hyperventilating, and he finally told me, Palmer, Palmer. And I'm driving up the hill out of Williston. And I for sure thought I was going to lose the call, but I didn't. I was laughing so hard, he kept saying, breathe, breathe, Palmer, damn it, you didn't get in a wreck. And I was sitting there and I said, you know, maybe we're on to something. Maybe we should make the show, you know, an up. Why do we, you know, if we're getting people to tune in, we're and then we, I mean, there isn't, you know,
Bella, you're breaking up really bad.
Yeah, you're going to have to relocate. Did we lose her?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Hello? I think we lost her. You still there, Ken?
Yeah, I'm still here. If I don't know if the system would kick us off if...
I'm here.
You're there. Where'd you go?
Well, so much for that fancy new expensive phone.
When you have a good signal, it sounds great. It's just when you get in a bad spot.
You know, I haven't moved. All I've done is moved my head.
I told you to catch it on the steering wheel.
I've got 5 bars of full signal strength on this fancy piece of crap iPhone. Well, I'll be back in Verizon tomorrow morning. So now I'm on the other one. Do I sound okay
sound
now?
Whatever you did, you fixed it. So, anyways, what was
all
your
right,
story?
So, carry on. So I'm sitting there with him, and he said, and he looked, I mean, with all sincerity, and he said, now I can't tell you to change what you've already started. And I said, no, but when you look at the ratings, when you look at the shows that go through the roof, I mean, they're always, you know, as I said on Monday night, if I have to take one for the team and get my crazy rabbit ass butt naked to get the country to wake up, I will. I mean, but it's all for the show. I mean, Aaron, you know more than anything, because then I usually talk to you after the show, and I'm just sitting in my hotel room doing more work for the radio show, and I always say people would think I live this really exciting lifestyle. No, I'm by myself all the time.
But by golly, you can moan. Oh, my goodness. You got to give them one of them. That would fire everybody up. Ken, you got to hear this one. Throw a couple out for everybody.
I don't even know how I did it.
She moaned by accident.
It's so hard. Huh?
I was telling Ken, you moaned by accident the other night. I said, don't do that to a guy in my situation. That's just not good. So she belted a couple more out. It's like, oh, my gosh, quit.
And all people are still scratching their head going, I thought she just said she's alone all the time. I am! Aaron, you're not even in the same state. I've never even met you person to person. We just talked over the phone for last year.
I figured you're either a giggler or a moaner or a combination of the two. I don't know.
I was looking at cold medicine when I was talking to you when I started moaning. I don't know.
Got my attention. Made me want to salute.
I'm sitting there with a company man, And finally, I look at him, and you know, I just kept rambling away. Well, he wrote on a piece of paper, he wrote N-O, no, and then he points to it. And I'm like, no. I'm like, but I'm not done yet. I said, I'm not done yet. I don't have enough material for the show yet. And then he writes underneath that, everything. Because I've been writing little notes, and I was watching. Now, I want to understand something. Okay, can you guys explain to me something? Why were the boys on Bonanza holding white bunnies?
I don't remember that episode. I don't remember that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Easter.
Nobody had any frocks on. I didn't see any girls. I didn't see any eggs. They had large white bunnies. They were holding them and petting them. It was kind of creepy.
Maybe it was going to be supper. Who knows?
Long-eared white bunny rabbits. That's what I said to him. I said, really? I said, I mean, what is going on? I said, can you explain? And that's when he said, I'm not talking. And then he pointed down to his paper and he pointed to no and then to everything. And I said, oh, I see. Now I'm going to just have to read your notes that you're going to write to me. This isn't going to work. I'm not going to take this. And then he wrote down tie with an arrow. And then he said, go. And so I took it. I listen to a company man. I do. And so I said, okay. And I walked out. And so then I went over to the shack, couple shacks down. And I walked in and I said, company man sent me. And they just both stared at me. And I'm sure they're thinking, what? What are we supposed to do? And I just watched into it. I showed them the T-shirt. And then I started telling them about the radio show. And then I started telling them about, Lord, I mean, you know, guys, let's get caught up a little bit. I did get office space in Williston so I can start to broadcast in a studio-like setting. The Billings Expo, the Billings Energy Expo, they called me, and on top of doing the Babes and Beer Derby event, they're doing, it's a barbecue, and they're also, they've got the Harley-Davidson's dealerships involved. There's going to be they're going to give away a Harley at this event, all in the name of the Bella D'Angelo Show. One of you?
One Harley.
Hello? Aaron.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
What are you doing?
I had to mute you for a second. Go ahead.
Please, don't do as Chad Lang did. I called him about a week ago, and I was like just going on and on and on and on, and finally I didn't hear anything, and then I finally said, what? And he goes, I got to call you back. And I was like, so he called me back like a couple of weeks later. I was like, what was that all about? And he's like, well, for the love of God, he said, I had my mother sitting next to me, and you were cursing like the roughneck that you are. And he goes, I couldn't get a word in edgewise to even tell you she was with me. He goes, there's some things that I can't always share with everybody. And I said, well, why didn't you just tell me to stop? He's like, that's gonna work. Yeah, I couldn't even get the word in to even interrupt you. So anyways, we've got Tom Garcia and Q, and I'm going to pick him up here in a second. But so let me finish this, because this is classic. So I'm in I'm in the shack, and I'm telling about the radio show. I'm telling about everything that's going on, the fact that I've got so much support for this radio show and, you know, where it's going. And like I say, I mean, I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. And this event that's going to be held in Billings, Montana, with the Energy Expo and the big event to launch for funding the equipment for the radio show, the cost involved and everything, it just blows my mind. And I just want to thank Laura and her entire team. They're also putting together right now a media page, excuse me, if you will, where I'm being asked by all of these companies, you know, email me what you have. They created a YouTube video. Yes, it's not the video you boys are going to be looking for. It's a video of my interview with Sean Hannity. The first time that I got on with Sean Hannity, it is now a YouTube video. There is also going to be MP3 files of clips from this show, and then it's going to tell my story and my journey and how I got here, and that's going to be the media package. So I just want to thank Laura and her entire team because, you've turned this whole thing around, and I just can't thank you enough. I can't thank Jerry enough from Fire and Fuel for, you know what, Jerry, you've done such a beautiful job everywhere I've gone. It just, this is a rocking T-shirt. This is really, I mean, it's just going to explode, as well as my clothing line that I want to develop with it as well. But so I've been standing there, and hang on, Tom, just one second. I've been standing there in the shack. Then, you know, of course, then we get into talking about politics, and then I start talking about, you know, no one would listen to me, and where I was coming from in Minneapolis, and the fact that, you know, I just couldn't get people to understand. And then I started talking about coming out here and selling drill bits, and I have my own business. And I always have to say, if it weren't for my company man, I wouldn't have my business, Isabella's Oilfield Services, which I want to say a real big thanks to Minnie, me, and Alex. You know, they're getting huge applause and compliments from all the company men that they're going out. And God bless them, you guys. You know what they did today that just blew me away? Besides hooking up my computer this morning, my printer, they went out representing me and went out on sales calls and found rigs all on their own. Then they came back to town, went around to businesses, then called me and said, this is where we went, this is what we heard, and we also were selling your T-shirts for you as well. What else can we do for you today?
That's sweet. You can't beat that.
Yeah. Yeah, as my company man said, you finally really found some good people. And he said, you know, when they were here, they were respectful, they were professional, they were, you know, they did a great cleaning job. And I said, well, you know, I'd gotten cheered up yesterday because I said I almost lost my business out here. I almost lost my reputation. And I said, it's going to take me a little bit. It's going to take me a little bit to earn the respect and the trust back from the company man. But I said, I'm going to do it because I never quit anything. I've never given up. I've never failed. And I'm so excited, and I just want to thank them. They're even helping tonight with that camper. You know, the camper.
Oh, your favorite thing. Did you ever break the camper in with the midget? That's my question. Is that where it all happened? It happened in the camper. I can see it now on the video. Camper, midget, Bella. Oh, I see it. I can see it. I don't want to, but I can just, yeah.
That's all the ninja can think about. That's why I said I couldn't believe he took it seriously, because he sent me a text and said, please don't tell me you built me up for hope and dreams. And he said, please tell me it's true. You're headed this way with the video camera. And that's when I finally called him, and I said, seriously? And he said, I knew I shouldn't have fallen into your game. You always mess with our heads. And I said, well, it just makes for the radio. And as I was talking to Laura and telling her about all the things that were going on, and I had mentioned that there was this other venue that had asked me to represent them, and when I was told that I was too off color and I was too far right, and she asked who this was, and I told her, and I said, you know what? That's what got us into this trouble, is not being honest and direct and allowing political correctness to come in and to take over. For us to suddenly change and not speak our mind. That is what broke this country. And I have determined, and I will not fall to political correctness. And that is why I'm so honored to be part part of the Billings Energy Expo, which is going to be July 31st, as well as the Bakken Expo, which is August 20th through 22nd in Minot, North Dakota. I'm so honored tonight because the man who started this all, the man who really created the monster, who contacted me and said, will you come on my radio show? And now look at me now. How do you like me now? We're all here together. Tom Garcia, how are you tonight?
Doing great, Bella, doing great. I've been getting a lot of emails saying, what have you done? What have you done, Tom? But I said, hey, I can't stop it. Bella's on a roll, and that's the way it is.
Yeah. And I pretty much let the cat out of the bag right out of the beginning that you were the mastermind behind all of this. But as I said back then, as I said now, you just never know who you're talking to. You never know who's listening to you. And, you know, I was relentless in my pursuit from day one to be able to be the voice of those who cannot speak and to get the message out and to be heard. And so I'm just honored that we're here together again, and we've got a bunch of different topics to talk about. So I know we're gonna talk about immigration and the pipeline, and I really haven't had the TV on, so I don't know if there was anything else real news breaking that they managed to get called out on themselves today. But where would you like to begin, Tom?
I'd like to start off with a little joke, and it's an allegory that sort of highlights the difference between conservatives and the criminal left. And I don't call them progressives or liberals anymore. They're the criminal left. They're the law-breaking, godless left. They made that clear in their national committee meeting before the election. They are the godless criminal left. So, without further ado, this is a nice little joke from Mike Harris, and I got it, I think, off of American Thinker, and it was a comment that he made on one of the nice articles there. But it's a pretty good joke. It says, a woman in a hot air balloon realized she was lost. She lowered her altitude and spotted a man in a boat below. She shouted to him, excuse me, can you help me? I promised a friend I would meet him an hour ago, but I don't know where I am. The man consulted his portable GPS and replied, you're in a hot air balloon approximately 30 feet above the ground, elevation 2,346 feet above sea level. You're at 3114.97 north latitude, 149.09 west longitude. She rolled her eyes and said, you must be a Republican. I am, replied the man. How did you know? Well, answered the balloonist, everything you told me is technically correct. But I have no idea what to do with your information, and I'm still lost. Frankly, you've not been much help to me. The man smiled and responded, you must be an Obama Democrat. Why, I am. How did you know? Well, the man said, you don't know where you are or where you're going. You've risen to where you are due to a large quantity of hot air. You made a promise you have no idea how to keep, and you expect me to solve your problem. You're in exactly the same position you were in before we met, but somehow now it's my fault. And that sums up precisely where we are today. It's all the Republicans' fault, yet it's all of this that's been going on and everything that's been screwed up in the last 5 years are the fault of the Democrats. Would you agree with that, Bella?
You know, as I've always said, I mean, it's a plain and simple mental disorder. And the day that they finally do, you know, take to task to do the, you know, to do the due diligence to find where that broken gene is, the DNA code that snapped the wire, because their wires have been so, I mean, they're beyond snapped now, because now it's to the point where, I mean, they're so entrenched in it that it's the love of power. So even though everything is burning and falling apart around them, it's about the power. It has nothing to do with it. And even if you sat down, the scary part is, even if you sat down and explained piece by piece everything that is broken, they will turn it around and flip it on you and spin it in a way that makes complete sense to them, nonsensical sense to us, and then they go into the emotional, crying, screaming, throwing rocks and running out the door, and, you know, you're left, well, I can't hurt my brain anymore. I can't do it. You know, I was around them. I spent way too much time around them. My goal is to get people that have reason and logic and can say, you know, do you see this is how you get involved? This is what you do to get engaged, because we have to get more people listening and tuning in, because, you know, this is the time when I said we're at a better position now with everything coming out and the Emperor's clothes coming off and knowing and understanding all of the agendas, because can you imagine how much trouble we would be in if they were still behaving, yet Tom, yourself, myself, others, the like-minded, all know and knew, like we did over 4 years ago, what was going to happen when this administration came in place. But now, it's out there. You literally have to be living, you know, your head in the sand if you're not seeing things that are scaring the ever-living life out of you that this administration is doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I brought some information with me that hopefully will scare some people if they haven't woken up yet and they haven't been paying attention. We were going to talk about the immigration bill, and here's what I want to let people know about. You can watch Fox News. Apparently Fox News has been bought off. Nothing that Fox News is saying is true. They're twisting and distorting the truth about the Senate immigration bill just as much as CNN or, believe it or not, MSLSD. Here's what's actually in the bill that was just added in, that Corker-Hoven amendment that was the bipartisan Democrat-Republican senators' amendment to the amnesty bill, which pretty much just rewrote the whole bill. But here's what's in this amendment, believe it or not. It legitimizes illegal immigration. Section 2302 says if you overstay your visa in the future, you can still apply for a green card and become a citizen. In other words, it's permanent lawlessness. Now, I just watched earlier tonight, because I could only take it for 3 minutes, and it just so happened that on Fox News, whoever the pundit was talking about, like, oh, no, we're rewriting the visa laws, so it's going to be much tougher and strict on it. I just read to you from Section 2302, if you overstay your visa, no harm, no foul, just apply for a green card and become a citizen. Wow. It also has no requirement to deploy technologies. In other words, the Corker Amendment would give the Secretary of Homeland Security full discretion as to how technology, whether it's drones, the military, cameras, etc., would be deployed, or, get this, whether to deploy it at all. Right now, Janet Napolitano is not doing things along these lines that was funded and appropriated for by Congress in years past because, quote, we don't have enough money, so we're not going to do it. Even though the law says you must do it, they're not doing it. Has no fencing requirement. Of all the things you're in, oh, we're going to secure the border, we're going to build fences, there's no fencing requirement in it. That's a lie if anybody says there's a fencing requirement. Similarly, building a fence is left to the discretion of the Department of Homeland Security. Now, we know that 700 miles was funded back in 2007. 36 miles have been built. So out of 700 miles that was funded, only 36 miles have been built. And now we're going to say, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to build a fence, but it's up to the discretion of the Secretary of Homeland Security, because if the Secretary says, you know what, maybe not, then guess what? It'll never get built. In other words, it'll never get built. So this new fencing law that's written into the bill is essentially codifying Obama's open defiance of the current law, which says you must build 700 miles, and he hasn't done it. It increases. Now, here's where it starts to get really sickening. It increases the fees on visas for legal immigrants. Somebody from another country looking for a work visa, somebody that's an engineer, a doctor, a scientist, and they apply for a visa, and they're legally coming to this country. The fees have gone up. But guess what? If you're a dreamer, if you're illegal, if you violated federal law, you get the low, low fee of an illegal immigrant, much lower than that for a legal immigrant. So we're now favoring illegal immigrants over legal immigrants. Now, we've heard Marco Rubio, and I refer to him as Marco Scrubio, tell us many, many times on TV that this bill is self-funded. The fees and taxes we're going to collect from these illegal immigrants as they become legalized will pay for the bill. Oops, except for the $38 billion that's been added into the bill that's going to come from you and me and everybody else listening to this show that's a resident, a legal resident of the United States of America. We're going to fund $38 billion to pay for this bill because there's not enough money coming from the illegal immigrants. It's going to delay the hiring. You heard the talk about we're going to hire 20,000 new Border Patrol agents. Well, it's up to the discretion of the president when he hires them, somewhere between 2017 and 2021. And then now here, I think this is the scariest part. You're familiar with the Navigator program in Obamacare, where ACORN-like leftist community organizers are going to be hired. We are appropriating as taxpayers billions of dollars to pay for navigators to work with people in the communities to help them understand Obamacare. Guess what? We're going to have navigators for the illegal immigrants. So just imagine what kind of navigating and assistance ACORN and other community organizations are going to be giving to illegal immigrants to teach them about citizenship. What are they going to be teaching them? You need to register as a Democrat because us Democrats, we're all socialist Marxists, and that's what you are. And if anybody out there has any doubt, my name is Garcia. My heritage is from Mexico. Mexicans, poor Mexicans, are socialists. They're all socialists. They like freebies. They live off the government down in Mexico, but they get more from us up here in the States. Everybody thinks they're all hardworking and really productive. Remember when, who was it the other day that was saying, Jeb Bush. Oh, my gosh. What a absolute cowpie. That guy is a total loser. But Latinos are more fertile and they're hardworking and productive. Let me tell you what. Colombia has more holidays and for more days than any country in the world. And when I've asked friends that are Colombian, you guys have more holidays than anybody, any country in the world. And you know what their answer is? That's because we're lazy. Talk to other countries. They'll tell you the same thing. This notion that Latinos are really hardworking, they're hardworking when that's the only way they're going to get any money, which is one of the reasons why they work hard when they're illegal. But if you start handing them freebies like food stamps and free health care, daycare, welfare, they'll be more than happy to sit at home in their trailer park and receive the goodies and not work. Believe me, that's the culture. Anybody out there that's Hispanic or Hispanic heritage, you call in and dispute this with me. But I know for a fact they're socialist and they're lazy, and that is the truth. Yeah, they'll work hard when they have to. So I know it sounds bad, and everybody says, oh, Tom, you're racist. Oh, wait a minute. You're Hispanic, too. Oh, oops. I know for a fact, because I grew up in Arizona. My family is of Mexican heritage. My family was from South Texas and then ultimately from Mexico City. This is the way it is, and I've traveled all over. I've been to more Latin American countries. You're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody that's been to more Latin and South American countries than I am. Have been, and there's some wonderful, wonderful people, and I love some of those countries down there. But the fact is, the poor, uneducated people that make it to this country, some are really hardworking, but many are just as lazy as any American. And when Jeb Bush tries to tell you that they're harder working than us, first of all, he's slapping Americans in the face to try and tell us that Latinos are more hardworking and dedicated to family and on and on and on this stuff. Bull crap. Jeb Bush, you're a bull you-know-whatter. Full of crap. You're lying to the American people because the vast majority of American people don't know those cultures. And I do, and I know them well. So people need to understand that this bill, whether it's a Corker, Hogan, Hogan, yeah, like Hogan's Heroes, Corker, Hogan, is full of baloney. It is laden with pork. Things that are going to cost us money, and it does not secure the border. That's an outright lie. Any of these legislators that tell you it secures the border, it's a lie. This is 1986 all over, all over.
Well, I was watching. I was trying to understand. I was on the treadmill when I was watching Jan Brewer, and am I correct or did I misunderstand? Is she softening as well?
And she's what? Say that again.
I said, is she softening in her stance on immigration? Jan Brewer from Arizona.
Yeah, they're all getting told you get on board or you're just going to get screwed. And so what's happening is she's being told this is going to pass, and if you keep opposing it, look, Arizona needs our help more than anything. You're going to get zip, nothing, nada. You're going to pay a bigger price than anybody else. And so that's what she's doing. I mean, you know what? If our politicians just operated on integrity and quit playing politics, oh, I got to worry about my constituents. I got to get them more money than the next state, and I got to do this, I got to do that. If they simply did what was right because it was right, would be okay. But they don't. They don't. They rationalize away integrity, and therefore we have a House and a Senate just absolutely full of dishonorable, no integrity scumbags. That's really what it's boiling down to. They are lying to the American people over and over and over. But you're right. She's softening on this because what she's been handed are talking points. Oh, we're going to put up a big fence. Oh, we're going to hire 20,000. But the devil is in the details. And when all of this, and one of the other things I just heard this morning, and I've got to verify it, but some of these parts of the bill, when it comes to border security, the president can ultimately veto. So if the Congress says, you know what, it's not as secure as it should be, we've got to stop processing immigrants for legalization, the president can override it and say, yeah, sorry, we're going to keep doing it. So there are no true safeguards in this, and we are legalizing illegal immigrants for the purpose of pumping up the criminal left and their voter base. I mean, think about it. Doesn't it all make sense now? For how many years now, the last 5 years, we've had an attorney general trying to kibosh any state that requires identification or proof of citizenship before voting. If all of a sudden we have 20 million new legal residents that can vote because they don't have to show proof of citizenship, doesn't that make sense why the left would want to do that? I mean, there are people out there right now, I've seen quotes from leftists saying, look, even if we only get 80% of the Hispanic vote from the newly amnestized illegals, we're talking, you know, potentially 15 to 18 million new votes versus what the Republicans are going to get. It's over. It's done. They're cooked. So why would they work so hard? They talk about, oh, the poor black community. Look, Lloyd Marcus has made this clear many times in American Thinker articles. He's saying, are you telling me that blacks are too stupid to get a simple form of identification? Is that what you're saying? Blacks are too stupid to get identification. That's why we can't require identification at the voting polls. No, it's not that. That's not what it has. We're not disenfranchising blacks or Hispanics or Chinese or anybody of other heritage. We're trying to enfranchise and disenfranchise real legitimate voters by allowing non-citizens to vote because they all had this planned and it was all up their sleeve. We're going to get 20 million new Democrats in this country, and they don't even have to be citizens, but we're going to make sure that no state can force you to show identification to vote. Well, that's backfired on them, and that's not going to work. But they still figure they're going to get away with a lot of extra votes because there are states that aren't going to enforce voter ID laws. But the states now that have been, we've just recently seen that the Supreme Court has ruled that, no, they can do that. So that is in our favor. But that's what they've been working for. This is a combined effort. They don't just sit here and focus on one issue. Oh, we want to help the people come out of the shadows. First of all, there's nobody in the shadows where I live. I live in South Florida. There are lots of illegal immigrants from all over Latin America here, kind of like when I used to live in Arizona and San Diego, California. They're everywhere. They're not in the shadows. They are out in the open, and they're working jobs. that you would think they couldn't get a job because they're here illegally. Oh, no, they're working at Target and Dunkin' Donuts and on and on. They're not just cutting lawns. They're working anywhere and everywhere they want. They're all out in the open. They are not in the shadows. That is a massive lie. They're not hiding under a bridge and hoping for a handout or the opportunity to go pick apples in the middle of the night in some orchard. No.
Absolutely, and you know, when you listen, if you go to YouTube and you put in my name and you pull up the video, is going to be with me on Sean Hannity's radio show now over 3 years ago. And what I was so up in arms about, I'm sorry, it was over 4 years ago, what I was just jumping up and down and screaming about was, you know, here, take my perspective now. My perspective, you know, for 10 years, I worked in the manufacturing back in Minneapolis. And every single manufacturing floor that I was in, they had illegal immigrants. And back then, they were already doing it in many of them because it was already too costly to compete. You know, and when I went on with Hannity and I explained to him what was going to happen when amnesty was pushed through, I mean, now go to the fact, where is the unemployment rate in the majority of this country outside of North Dakota? Anywhere from 20% to 30%. Now, look at what is happening because of Obamacare with the hours restrictions. People, you know, they moved it to 30 hours on purpose. People are going to have to be working part-time plus another part-time job. However, now look at this. The people that are making decent wages in order to afford Obamacare, when they make it legal to be illegal, they can drop the wage from the higher wages that they're making to lower wage. This is exactly what crippled the construction business in Minneapolis. And I was a part of it because that's what so many of my friends did. They were in construction. And we've got 910 joining us. And as soon as the Hispanic workforce came in, they could drop the wage. Guys used to be making $25, $28 an hour. You know, they had 30, 40 crews, guys in their crew. They had, you know, all the benefits, and then all of a sudden, the Hispanics came in, and all of a sudden, you're competing for $10 an hour, which is exactly what's going to happen to manufacturing, which is going to shove so many more out of work, and then if they want to come back in and get their old job back, instead of making the good wages of $18, $20 an hour, guess what? Hello, $8, $10 an hour.
Yeah. Well, you know what else is going to happen, Bella? As these various groups of illegal immigrants unionize, they will unionize. I predicted this years ago, that there are organizations waiting in the wings to unionize them and take advantage of that. So they'll start getting just as much money as your union brothers and sisters out there or the top wage earners. They will get close to the same amount of money, but here's the difference. The one thing the bill does say is that illegal immigrants are not qualified for Obamacare, no health care. So what happens is, if an employer hires a formerly illegal, now legal immigrant who's not qualified for health care, then there's an exemption. So any employer with 50 or more employees doesn't have to pay health care for them. And there's no fine. Remember, the fine can be as much as $3,000 per employee. So let's say you have a small manufacturing plant with 100 employees, and you can replace all 100 employees with now provisionally legal immigrants and
yep.
get rid of your citizens, your American citizens, you don't have to provide health care for them. Think that's a huge savings. You can still pay them the same wage, and yet the health care savings are massive. So now we have a favor status when it comes to illegals or legals. It's going to be much cheaper to hire illegal immigrants, even if the wages stay the same, just because of our new health care law. So that's a very insidious way of promoting hiring illegal immigrants.
But look at, you know, look at the only industry and economy that is existing outside of oil. Now take all of those displaced workers. Take all of those displaced workers that are no longer going to have jobs, and it's going to further drive the economy completely down into the ground, because now all of a sudden, then it affects everything else, because they're not making money. They're not paying. Now more houses are being dumped into the foreclosure, and on the domino effect takes place. I mean, breathe.
Well, you know, Bella, there are going to be illegal immigrants that are currently working in fields in the agriculture industry right now that are then going to say, hey, I can now get a job legally in one of these other industries and make more money. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do that. It'd be a more comfortable job. Working in agriculture is a tough job. I've done that before. Very tough job. So who's going to fill the role of the illegal field workers? Well, guess what? It's going to be new illegal field workers, because this immigration bill says you had to have been here by a certain date in 2011. After that, you don't qualify. So as these current illegal immigrants upgrade to legal jobs and nicer jobs and higher quality jobs, when I say higher quality, you might just be working in a restaurant, in the hotel industry, or better, you know, construction, et cetera. But now employers can legally hire them and not have to worry about penalties, et cetera, and save money. Who's going to go out and pick the lettuce and the strawberries? It's going to be new illegal. We're going to have a whole new wave of illegal immigrants that are willing to take the $3 an hour job because at least it's something. And then they've seen how in 86 we gave amnesty, in 2013 we gave amnesty. Who knows, maybe 10 years on down the road we'll have to give amnesty again, and they'll just be ready and waiting to go. So it's going to create a whole new wave of illegal immigrants. And along with those illegal immigrants, we can expect to see a wave of terrorists who are going to filter in with them and try and fit in with them and utilize these new immigration laws to get away with integrating into our society and waiting for the right time, like the Sarnoff brothers up in Boston, and kill a bunch of people. And that's what they're going to do. Now, I don't want to take up too much time. You've given me a lot of time tonight, Bill. I want to just read you a couple other things. One is from John Locke. If anybody doesn't know who John Locke is, you need to go and read his material and his books, because a really smart guy who had great insight into government. And in his second treatise of government, section 135 to 136, I'm going to read this in regard to the Supreme Court ruling on the Definition of Marriage Act. And when they said, the Proposition 8 out in California, we're not going to rule on that. That's just, you know, as it stands. Well, here's what happened in California. The government of California would not stand up for the will of the people. The people voted overwhelmingly to support Proposition 8. That was law. A federal judge who happened to be gay struck it down. When it came to the Supreme Court, the Attorney General and the governor of California would not defend it. But a circuit court in California said, okay, the people behind Proposition 8, we will let some of these people defend Proposition 8 before the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court essentially said they have no standing. What it means is they can't defend it, only the government of California. So do you see the catch-22? The government of California, this is such a whole new precedent for the future. When when the governor or the state legislature doesn't like what the people have passed as law, they just don't defend it. And if it ever makes it to the Supreme Court will say, the people have no standing. Do you get that? The people have no standing, only the government. Now, I've got a little piece from an article that I wrote several years ago that's going to tie into the government saying that the people have no standing, when in fact the people should have all standing. But here's what Locke had to say, and I just let people reflect on it. I'm not going to elaborate on it, but I think this ties in to the government getting involved in the definition of marriage. First of all, the government should not be issuing marriage licenses. Why the states issue them, you can get into why it is. It's all about money and control. The government, especially the federal government, has no business getting involved in marriage whatsoever. So the Supreme Court, when it came to the Defense of Marriage Act, should have said, it's not our business. And quite honestly, if the Congress representing the people wants to define marriage for purposes of benefits, not rights, but of benefits, then they have every right to do that. Now, the Supreme Court has said no, the Congress representing the people doesn't have the authority to define who gets what benefits in the, within the federal government. Okay, so here's what Locke had to say. This goes back about 150 years. But supposing by democracy injustice prevails, in other words, even though we may be in a democracy and we're not, we're a republic, but you know, under democratic rules, injustice prevails. And he's going to explain why injustice would prevail. Supposing the populace become lenient upon evils because they cannot bear their own punishment. Supposing they vote in ignorance and legislate absurdities, punishing the righteous and driving away the productive. Eventually, the cries of both the just and the unjust ring so loudly that the reins of government are taken from the people and order is established by an immensely preferable dictator. In other words, things get so bad. We are fighting so much in this country that we're just glad to have one person just take over and control the country. When the majority cannot protect themselves from their own depravities, democracy is no longer viable. You know, we're not experiencing anything new. We're just rewriting history. There are great, great men, and our founders based, you know, their decisions and how they set up their government on the experiences of past governments and philosophers that discuss these kind of things. And so we need to pay attention to this. But the problem is the vast majority of Americans don't understand this stuff, don't care. So all I'm telling is those of your listeners that do understand and get it, Locke basically predicted that this could happen, and it is happening, and that's what we're looking at. So we really have a tough road to hoe. And if you don't mind, Bella, I'll read one last thing, and this is in my own writing going back about 5 years about the rule of law. And this is what we're seeing with a Supreme Court that does not follow the rule of law and is legislating from the bench and ruling every time something comes up, oh, they're going to rule on it. Why is it that 9 people know better than the masses, all of the millions of people that voted in California? They know better than the Californians know. They know better than the nation knows. They know better than our representatives in Congress know. They know better than all of the state legislators know. And every time any question comes up, they rule on it and they change the course of our society. So I wrote this based on my readings Henry Adams' book, The History of the United States, 1801 to 1809, which is a history of the Thomas Jefferson presidency. So if you don't mind, here we go, and then I'll be done. Government via the rule of law creates a society out of groups of people that generally have common goals and interests. It establishes boundaries and limits for society so that its citizens may enjoy a more stable and secure environment to live in. And for the first time in our history, our Constitution established boundaries and limits for government. The U.S. Constitution is the rule of law that our representative government is expected to live by when making laws for society to live by. Virginia republicanism was in large part the reason Thomas Jefferson was elected president. And according to Henry Adams, Virginia republicanism believed if the government, either in its legislative, executive, or judicial departments, or in any combination of them, could define its own powers in the last resort, then its will and not the letter of the Constitution was law. And thus, the essence of Virginia republicanism lay in a single maxim. The government shall not be the final judge of its own powers. So, what we're seeing today is the government is the final judge of its own powers, not the people. Equally important to our rule of law, Adams noted, to this axiom of republicanism, the Federalist judiciary opposed what amounted to a flat negative. Chief Justice Marshall and his colleagues meant to interpret the Constitution as seemed to them right, and they admitted no appeal from their decision. In other words, back in 1801, we had a Supreme Court that didn't care what the intent of the Constitution was. Can you imagine this, Bella? James Madison is Secretary of State, eventually Vice President, and after Jefferson, President of the United States of America. And the Chief Justices, the Supreme Court, could have gone to Madison at any time and said, what did you mean by this in the Constitution? The man who wrote it. And yet they didn't care. They were going to interpret it as they believed they wanted to. So this goes back to the beginning of our founding. We have a Supreme Court that doesn't care what the Constitution says, doesn't care what the Constitution means, and therefore we the people have to stop this. So how's that going to happen? Well, it's complicated, and we can talk about this in some future shows. There are some ways that we the people, and it starts at the state level and with the state governments, and those of us that happen to live in red states are going to have to work to stop this runaway train of judicial legislation and a president and an administration that violates their oaths of office. The president is supposed to ensure that the laws are faithfully executed, and yet he decides which laws will be followed and which laws won't, versus all laws will be followed. So we currently live in what I believe is a post-constitutional America, a lawless nation in which the government is telling us, the people, what its powers are. We, the people, have no say in it, and we're going to do what they say. And that's where we're at. I hate to say it. But so we need to get the word out on this stuff. This is nothing new. This has been around a long time. It's just coming to a head. So there you have it. I'm sorry, Bella, I took a long time, but I thought that stuff was important in light of current events.
No, I'm just sitting here thinking that I wish you had more availability. I would love to have you on a few more shows during the week, but, you know, you've got a very busy schedule, and you're on call most of the time, I believe. You know, when you're talking about, and that's why, like I explained, if I can be part of this making a difference and getting people to wake up, that's all I ever wanted. I wanted to be the voice of somebody that, you know, like you, Tom, and the rest of us, we're all out there working by day and then getting involved by night. And that's why I joked on Monday night show when I was talking about, of course, you know, everybody looks at me and says, how are you still single out here? I mean, it's a hot topic. First question that I asked Tom walking in the ring, and it's like, but what I said and what I say all the time, right now, what we're facing in this country, what we are up against, the uphill battle that we have, I don't have time for any Mickey Mouse bullshit games. I mean, I make light of them. Of course, that's what turns the humor in this show. But you know, I run around, and all I do during the day besides scrubbing toilets and selling trucking and, you know, everything else and building the ring, I mean, it's to get people to wake up. I mean, Tom, today I probably gave out the BellaDiAngelo.com, and also we are downloadable on iPhones and Droids. We're a free application. I'm making adjustments to it because the play button, which is very small, it is so small, and that was the other reason that I got this smart, fancy phone, was I couldn't even download on my other phone. I mean, a lot of people have no idea the technical difficulties that I have, given the fact that I have this radio show, but I mean, I probably got to 30, 40, 50, I don't know that, and that doesn't even touch the numbers that now I'm employing people at businesses to sell the shirts, to tell the radio, to get people tuning in and listening, and then once I hit syndication, I mean, there just isn't anybody else that is out there that's female, doing the things that I'm doing, and then wants to be the voice and the face of Drill Baby Drill, from the heart and love of crude oil, that is, that has the heart and mind of all of the company men, all of the rigs listen to this show. They're from all over the country, and bringing the good promotion of what's really happening here, which is what I was talking about at the last stack that I was in, when the gentleman was talking about how he was talking about how he was making his boss a millionaire. And Tom, I just said, you know, I said, you know, that's one of the biggest problems is people think that business owners are millionaires. I said, sure. I mean, you know, many achieve the success of making a lot of money, but in the beginning, it's a lot of work. It's a ton of work. But then again, I am so honored and so blessed to have what I have, to have taken the risk that I did to come out here. And as George Patton Jr. said tonight when I was leaving, which, by the way, he made the best stew. It was steak and potatoes and mushrooms and all. It was amazing. And I was telling him all the things, and he said, "You're getting a grip." I mean, it's an understatement for me to say that this is the hardest thing I've ever done. This is certifiably the hardest thing I've ever done. But as Brian Sears said, and Tom, I've talked to you many times about the challenges, but if you don't give up and you learn from you learn. And then you sit back and you look how far I've come, and there's a time, place, and a reason for everything. And I believe that when I get to the syndication level and get people that can tune in and find us now on Sirius Satellite, you know, many people tell me, once you hit satellite, a one-known number, then I can listen to you all the time. Because I'm just trying to make it so that people that don't normally tune in are looking for that station and saying, I just want to listen to what that crazy girl up in the oil field did today. How many company men did she take over their computer stations, put her show into their computer? How many forklifts got damaged because they couldn't get her out of her mind? But how many people did she get tuning in and listening and getting active at a local level, which is going back to the involvement and the participation in being an American, is being involved and caring and talking with those, talking with your neighbors, talking with those in church, talking with your community leaders, talking with and actually knowing the officials that are on the ballot when you're voting, and actually getting involved. So this, because we put ourselves in this trouble. We put ourselves exactly where we are today because of us disengaging, checking out, you know, allowing all of the things that distracted us. But like I always say, what was going to make us finally wake up? How much trouble did you have to get into before you started to change?
Yep, I agree with you. Well, Bella, you are absolutely right, and I'm glad things are going well and they're going to get better. And I'll be back next week. I'll let you know what time I can come on, and we'll chat some more. I won't be quite as verbose. Thanks for giving me so much time tonight. I really appreciate it. And I would just say to everybody out there, keep pushing forward, and we'll do everything we can.
Thanks so much, Tom. You were awesome, and you brought a ton of great information. I know that we were going to talk about the pipeline, but we'll leave that for next week. So look forward to talking to you offline. Take care tonight.
All right. Thanks, Bella. Have a great night. Good night.
Good night. Now, we have 910. Did you want to join in, or are you just listening?
I'm just listening, Bella.
Hey, I talked to you last week.
That's right. You did. You saw that I'd been listening in and decided to call me in the middle of the night after about 5 or 6 minutes after the show ended. But that's okay.
Well, that's not middle of the night to me, middle of the night. But anyways, you're right. I was watching the stream last week. And I never know who it is that's tuning in to just listen, especially when you told so many people during the day. And curiosity got the best of me, of course. I'm not shy, and there isn't anyone I won't call. And so I called you and said, "Are you listening to the show? And tell them a little bit about what it was, why you, you know, tell them what you told me last week."
Well, I can't remember exactly what I was telling you, other than the fact that that I used to work in the oil patch down in South Louisiana, and that the oil patch does not take kindly to people, not coming into work at on time. If you can't get there when your tower's supposed to start, they will find somebody to replace you. They've never had a problem with that. You come on.
Go ahead.
I said, you come on tower, ready to go, and be there. And, you know, I sit here and look at what we're doing with the oil. We can't drill in the Gulf, but we'll take and have Venezuela or Brazil come there and drill in our areas on deep water and take our oil and then sell it back to us. And it's just ridiculous. We can't have a pipeline across America to bring tar sand oil down to Texas to be refined, because that doesn't fit in with the plans of the globalists. And it's just ridiculous. They don't want this country to get better. In fact, Putin, I think it was this week, put it very well. Either our president is a complete blooming idiot, or he is intentionally killing the economy of the U.S. First, I think Putin was right on the second point, not the first.
Well, I have said, this is an intentional dismantling of this country. And, you know, I've always said, though, that could you imagine if he actually came in and did what he had said he was going to do? Can you imagine what that would have done to end so much of racism in this country? I mean, the opportunity. What?
He actually tried to put us together, you know, and to unite the country rather than drive a wedge between different groups and divide it even further than it already was.
Well, that's why this is so dangerous, is because the scary part is that those in the party, they really don't know and understand the true intention. And as illogical and lost as they are, like I said earlier in the show, it's about the power. It's simply about the power. And think of, and it's the love affair of the power and the relationship. Now, equate it to. Have you ever seen where someone is in an abusive relationship and they are so caught up in the story that's been fed to them by the abuser, that even though it is so blatant in front of them, and there are signs everywhere of what is really happening, but they can't see it because they have been brainwashed and blinded by the story that they've been told. So they still, in some concocted version in their head, believe that this is still liberalism. They do not fully understand, because they are so brainwashed that it's going to take a tsunami to knock them out, to make them even start to think or see or realize. That's the dangerous part about being in a very violent, abusive relationship, which is what this administration has over their own party and the country. And the fact that there is so much fear in standing up and saying or doing anything, that even if those in power wanted to, they're caving in.
Well, you look at what happened the reporter last week, I think it was, the one out in Los Angeles, the supposed car wreck. I don't know if you recall that one.
I think I heard something about it. Go ahead and tell us. I'm sorry.
He I think it was like 1 o'clock in the morning or so, he he was driving down a road in L.A., and supposedly he ran off the road. He had a single car collision and hit a tree, and his car burst into flames, and he was killed. And this is, you know, but the funny thing, the Mercedes-Benz he was driving, that car is made so that when you're in a wreck, you have, even if you're in a front end, a head-on collision, that engine is supposed to go directly down to the roadway. But the engine wound up like 50 or 60 feet or more away from the car. I mean, I don't know if you've ever watched the cars even hit the wall in Talladega or Daytona in NASCAR, get up in the catch fence and get ripped in half, and that car, you know, at 200 miles an hour, the engine very rarely gets that far away from the body of the car when the car's just ripped in half. But here at Mercedes, on a public road, has supposedly hit a tree or an obstruction, and the car, the engine winds up 50 feet away from it. No, that car was shot.
Let me ask you real quick, what was it, because I heard bits and pieces about this from Chad Lang, but I never did get to, what was it that the reporter had said, or was there something specific, or?
He had made some statements about the way things were being handled by the this administration. I think he commented on why the generals that would not support the disarming of the American, or would not fire on American civilians, were getting replaced and driven out of the military. And I think he'd just gotten off the telephone with somebody at the Rolling Stone magazine, part of the publicity staff there. And when he got, when that supposed accident happened, although a lot of people that are in the know say it looks more like a missile strike than a car accident. And that sort of, you know, it sounds to me like the effects of things like the drone strikes in Yemen and other places in the Middle East, where we've taken out supposed terrorists with a missile from one of our drones up in the sky, die in the sky, just takes them out, you know, while they're driving down the road.
Oh. I'm going to sleep well tonight. Hey. Oh, hey, Aaron. Aaron.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I want you to jump in because, you know, from, and you know, 910, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting, what is your first name?
My name is Mark.
Mark, that's right. Mark, I'm so glad that you joined us tonight, and you know, this is another great night tonight, and I just want to circle back a little bit, though, because Aaron, you had said to me after one of the shows that we go pretty high level in what we talk about, and then I said, well, maybe I'll jump in and kind of ask you from your perspective, you know, anything that we shared tonight, is there anything that, you know, give you a chance to jump in, because, you know, for those listening, you know, I've known Aaron now for a year, got introduced through your brother. We talk on the phone. Like I said, I've never met you in person. I talked to you, and then I got you, I convinced you into coming on. First I convinced you to listen to the show, and then that wasn't enough. Then I dragged you and said, now you've got to come on the show. And you're a typical person that I've been trying to get my hands on you to listen, because, you know, it's so easy. I mean, my stress level would be, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have stress if I didn't focus on this and be the driven person dedicated to making a difference. But But we are making a difference because I hear from people every day, even the 19-year-olds driving out to the roast about jobs, to the one wrenching on my truck that said, I'm going to call you a genius. You get people tuning in. But sometimes I also want to stop and say, you know, I'm starting to ramble, but go ahead, Aaron, jump in.
Just a quick thing on the Obamacare in the industry I'm in. We do have part-time employees, and they were getting anywhere from 30 to 50 hours because they needed to get their job done, and they didn't have enough people to do the job. So now they took the part-time employees, and they bumped them back to 25 hours, bringing more people in to do that same job. Or if they can't get the people in, then the work won't get done. And these people are just, you know, their hands are tied because they have over 50 in where I work, they have over 50 employees that are part-time. So, which they have to provide insurance, my understanding. So what they did is they bumped them down to 20, and if they worked over 30 hours, they have to provide insurance for them. So they bumped them back to 25 hours. They don't have to provide insurance. And now that they'll be working less, they have to go get another part-time job to make up for the hours that they're not going to be getting now. But that's what's happening with these people here and where I'm at. And they're not happy at all because they don't want to go get another part-time job. They like the job that they were doing. But I don't know. I was just another spin on some of the things that are happening where I'm at with the Obamacare that's going to be coming in effect in October. Is that correct? Is it October?
Well, if they hit that
mark. I mean, not every state's prepared, my understanding. And I know there's a couple states that the insurance can have a monopoly on the state because there's only one insurance in that zone or in that state that's going to be available. They won't have anything to choose from. But that's what happened with our part-time employees here. A lot of them in our area. They no longer can work over 25 hours.
Well, that's going to take effect everywhere. And then,
they'll be seeing that. They'll be getting the same hit also.
And like I was saying earlier, is then you add to the fact that making it legal to be illegal.
Yes.
At what point do you get enraged enough that you take that that frustration and you get involved and you get... You're going to have to make your voice heard. We can't sit back because we can't afford, and that's why I got so lit up yesterday morning when that group said to me, I'm too far right. You mean I'm too right? I am too right. I'm very right in everything that I am sharing and trying to get people to understand that what we stand to lose here, people just don't understand because they haven't lived. They haven't lived in a communistic police state. That is why I get my head so lit up that, you know, I've been practicing. I mean, there are days that I really try to practice holding that duct tape and being calm. But it's, you know, if you can't hear, I mean, the passion and my desire and what I am, you know, I don't have time. I don't have time for this maddening, retarded game called dating and the Mickey Mousing around and everything else, you know, trying to get me to sit and talk about, you know, dogs, cats, fish, giraffe, walks in the park, you know, soft music, loud music. Do you want, you know, how do you like your eggs? Do you like a bath? Do you like a shower? It's like, Christ, none of this matters. And you couldn't distract me long enough to even enjoy a movie because I won't stop talking. And I'd be talking to everybody in the theater. I'd be talking to everybody in line. I will be talking to everybody everywhere I go. because do you really want to wake up? Do you really want to wake up one day and say, you know, I remember her. I think I still have her card somewhere, and she told me this, but I wish I would have done something. I wish I would have done something. You know, what absolutely, you know, and then I stand here and I have to hear from people that told me that I was crazy. I have to hear from people that told me that I was wrong, that told me that I was a conspiracy theorist, that told me that, you know, I was crazy for going to the oil field, that I was crazy for giving up all the things that I had. You know, I'm down to jeans and T-shirt, I'm very fortunate to be able to stay in this hotel room because my life isn't complicated. I don't have things to worry about and deal with. I leave from Studio A in my Ford F-250, and I go into my hotel room. My bed is made. I have clean towels. My life is simple. I do my laundry. I get on my computer, and I get to work on the pieces that I need to complete the next step where I'm going with the radio show, with my business, with my new sales position. I mean, but like I've always said, I'm building this for myself because it is me, myself, and I. And depending on where, you know, what happens in this country, either way, I have to take care of me. And that's why I'm out here. And that's why I have stood my ground and said, I am proud for the honor that I have been given and the liberties that I have out here. And I wouldn't change anything. And the love that I get from the company men and the hands and the family that I have out here, I wouldn't trade it for the world. But I just want to be the voice of reason to people to say, look, if I can do this, anybody can do this. You knew anything about my background and the things that you know, I have overcome. But we've got to get people listening and tuning in. And Aaron, I want to thank you because I know you tell me all the people that you tell them to download this show in their phone, you tell them to tune in, as do my company men and so many others. And that's all that I can ask, is go out and make our job, you know, do the job for the people. This show is for the people, by the people, of the people. This is the people's show. I mean, I love it that, Mark, you're calling in, and now you're joining the show, and you're lending your voice. I mean, I never wanted this show to be an intimidating show where you didn't want to call in and be a part of it because, frankly, I mean, you know, people can't really connect with Rush. And a lot of people are even getting frustrated with Beck right now. I pretty much had it with O'Reilly myself, and even Hannity is starting to, I mean, you know, I sit there and I want to ask myself, why, especially them, in the position that they are in, how is it they can't say, okay, enough of the madness, enough of the stupidity, enough of the criminal behavior, enough. I mean, they know what's going on. They've been fighting it longer, and, you know, they've been voicing it longer than I have. Well, as I said to Wilson earlier today, in so many ways, I say, must I be the one that gets the job done? Aaron?
You are on the right path. You're doing your best. And you're getting aggravated with Hannity and all them. It sounds like, well, maybe they don't want to end up in a supposed accidental car wreck. So they're back. Maybe they're going the direction they are for that reason. Who knows?
Well, it's up to us. This is truly up to us. And, you know, the hardest part is, as I say, being pregnant, you know, and I mean, knowing what was going to happen is different than actually living as each unfolds. I mean, there were nights and nights and nights of sitting and discussing until 3, 4, 5 in the morning all that was going to take place, which is, I mean, which is what brought me out to this oil field. But, you know, that person isn't around anymore, and I wasn't supposed to come out here by myself, but I am, and I've always said I want to be, now I've got to have the things in place, you know, for, I mean, I just, this next year, and it's going to take you and I and the rest of us, you know, there was, I'm not talking about what I'm talking about, not the revolution where it's violent. I mean getting out and talking to people, because there's more of us than them. And until they actually start to come after the masses, which, you know, we've got our men and women served. They are oath keepers. You know, you can't get paralyzed by the fear. That's when they're winning. And you think I haven't gone through my own moments of complete breaking down and crying while you haven't been out at the rig. And if I would be lying to say I haven't spent my own hours thinking and talking and scaring and crying and bleeding to these people. Really? Am I? But I always said, this is not when you can back down. I didn't work this hard to get to this point to leave it all behind and just say, oh, I was just kidding. I didn't mean it. I'm going to start becoming politically correct. No, this is when we stand and we say, come on, enough. I have taken enough. And we can't, I mean, ask yourselves, where else are we going to go if we lose it here? That's me breathing.
Yeah,
one of you guys can jump in. Don't leave me dead hanging.
No, you're good. You're good. There's nowhere else to go. We got to save what we have here. Exactly right.
It's actually like President Reagan said many years ago, if we lose the liberty and freedom here in America, there is no other place to go.
That is true. That is very true.
Well, why is everybody fleeing to America? Why do we have a problem handling the immigrants in this country? Why?
They do not want to assimilate into the melting pot that America has been traditionally. They want to retain their individual or their group identity as a person that came from such and such a society. They don't want to become
but like they say out here with their aggravation and frustration out of sometimes being from a different state, and you walk in so arrogantly and you say, well, this is how it's done back home, and you say, well, if it works so damn well back at home, why don't you take your funky rear end and go back home? I mean, that's what you say. I mean, look at it. The thing is, you're right. They don't want to assimilate. That's because they have lost sight. They don't even know what the American dream is anymore. But the reason they're all running here in droves is because look at where they're running from. They're running from what they're trying to turn this country into. That's how bad the mental disorder is. It's like letting the country be taken over by meth heads. Why do you think that drove me so rabbit-ass crazy? Dealing with those people is beyond illogical. It's beyond sensible. You can't have... I was so exhausted trying to have conversations with these people. I found myself actually, like, you know, drinking even more Diet Coke during the day to try and keep awake. I mean, eating more sugar to try to, you know, keep away, because like I always said, I was just trying to get them out of the house. let alone trying to manage and think for everybody throughout the entire day. And even then, by the end of the day, I was still thinking for them and still dealing with illogical conversations, which is particularly why I can't talk to the mentally retarded, disabled liberals that don't even make sense, because they don't even see that we wouldn't have, the whole reason they are all flooding here is because they don't want to be where they are. They know that coming here, they will get every handout and entitlement, and they won't have to work, which is the complete opposite of what this country stood for, the land of opportunity, that as hard as you work, you reap the benefits of your hard work. Now it's a crime to work hard.
Oh. Have you ever heard a number of how many immigrants come into this country a year? Legal or illegal?
Go ahead.
I don't know if you've ever heard. I Googled it one day, and I think I read it was like 1.8 million and of illegal and legal immigrants that make it into this country each year. That's a lot of meth heads.
Well, you know, when the crazies took over the asylum, when the crazies started running the asylum, well, you know, they basically won. And right now, they're in charge of the asylum, and it has gone completely crazy. I if you think back 3-4 years ago, you know, the hardest part heading into the election last year was that I really, you know, and I got to say, I've been disenchanted with Fox for a long time, and I just couldn't understand how, you know, they kept telling us that, you know, Romney was going to get in and there was no way, and on and on and on, and then just as if it was, you know, then the very next day, they were just talking about the fiscal cliff like it was no big deal, like it was a holiday, you know, it's like, oh, Halloween, fiscal cliff, let's celebrate. And no one said, you know, they're all on the Kool-Aid, they're all in it together, and I just, you know, when you look back to how many people did it take in the first revolution, 3%, and I know, you know, living in North Dakota, you know, there are far more that are paying attention, walking around, sharing their aggravations, but also getting involved. And you never know who's listening. You never know who you're talking to. And those that are around me up here, they know and understand because they see me. They see the fact that as I was in the last check, and Aaron, what was I telling you when I left? Well, first of all, I wanted to say hi to him because I told him to tune in. And then I asked him if he'd buy a T-shirt, and he said, sure. And then he said, by the way, what's on your T-shirt? I just loved it. After he told me that I was going to blow up his shack. My goal is to get people involved and get people listening. And he said, well, I guess you got your job done for the day. He said, you got him so wound up, I didn't think he could think straight. And, oh, I have to laugh because the guy from Minnesota came up on location to me yesterday as I was driving away, and he's got a Vikings helmet on. Oh. And he comes running up. You know, as you said, yeah, Minnesota left a bad taste. And the last time I saw the Minnesota guy, he got into it. I saw him on location. I asked him if he'd been listening to the show, and he goes, oh, I haven't listened to you in a long time. And I said, yeah, why is that? And he said, you're turning away a great number of listeners by having that Confederate flag on your business card. I got him so wound up and turned around and spun around that, you know what, Aaron and Mark, he ran out of the rig. And as the government man said, oh, he's heated. his sales guy said, did you give him hell? And the other man said, not only. He said, he ran out of here, didn't even get his ticket signed. So when his coworkers saw me the other day and we were talking about it, when I saw him then on location later that day, he comes running up to the truck with that Vikings helmet on. Just wanted to plunder it off. I'm sorry, guys. I just, you know, there are exceptions to the rule of guys from Minnesota that I do love. But this one, no, not feeling the love. And he goes running up to the truck and he goes, because I just want to tell you, I wasn't criticizing the show. And I said to myself, really, I guess I didn't ask for your critique, as a matter of fact. I didn't ask for it. But thanks for letting me know that you weren't critiquing. He goes, I know where you're going to go once again. It's the Confederate flag. And when I stood there in the shortstop today in Arna Guard, and those gentlemen looked at me and said, way to go, sister, we love you. I said, you know, it's hard to find this down south. He said, God bless you for what you're doing, and nothing makes my day better. And you know, this morning when Mini-Me was at they were at the motel with me getting the printer hooked up to my laptop, and I was showing them the T-shirts, and she said, I love it, but she said, I have a problem with the Confederate flag. And I said, do you know why? Do you know what that really represents? Do you know why it's on my business card? And she just looked at me. She goes, well, I know what it means. And I said, I don't know that you do. I said, do you know that it really is about states' independence from the government? And she said, no. She said, I thought it was about race. And I said, no. I said, I never put it on there to be about that. I've been educating and telling people like yourself, she's 21 years old. And I said, you should be proud to explain that to people. You should be proud to wear that. I said, it's a good thing. And I said, being a rebel is about being a survivor, and it's about standing your ground. And it's about no surrender ever, and protecting and loving and caring for what the Founding Fathers fought for this country, the rights and the life and the liberties that we are about to lose if people don't get involved and understand and reach out and do things just like, you know. And then, you know what she said, you guys? She said, I will wear that shirt with the Confederate flag on it. And off they went today. I didn't even tell them where to go, which rigs to hit, what to say, and God bless them. They came back. They told me all the rigs that they went to, the company men that they talked to, the businesses. I'm honored and blessed to have them. And I got one more person walking around and educating and you know, reaching. You know, you've got to be persistent and relentless in our jobs, because this is our job. There isn't anybody else that's going to do this for us, because we put ourselves here. And the only one that can get yourself out of trouble is yourself. And the only time you decide to change is when the pain of being what you used to be becomes more painful than the change. And people don't begin to realize the liberties and the freedoms that they had until they start to lose them. And we are rapidly losing them at a fast pace. But that is why I say, and I try to remind everybody, it's easier to get people that wouldn't normally talk to you. It's easier to get people, it's easier to talk to people because like I said, you have to be living in a cave or your head is so far up your rear end that you don't have at least some fears that are starting to tell you, you know, I don't think this is the change. I don't think that this is the way that this country was supposed to, I don't think I was supposed to see these things about the IRS spending money on booze and porn and all the crap that's coming out and all of the abuses and the and digging into and listening to and pulling records and listening to phone calls and all of this madness and insanity that only exists when you got a psychopath, social, you know, abusive guy stalking you and digging into everything because he's so paranoid of what you're doing. Why is the administration paranoid of what people are doing? We have 701. Welcome to the Bella D'Angelo Show. Hello?
Are we live on the air right now, Bella?
Yes, who is this?
Well, I just bumped into you the other night. The other afternoon.
Is this Walmart?
Is this who?
Who is this?
Oh, we met over at a rig the other day with your...
Oh, man.
Get squirted by the sprinkler, sorry. Trying to grill some chicken. I got squirted. Actually, I'm going to be your guest 7:30 Monday night.
Hey, you! Were you listening to me wanting to kick the Minnesota Vikings helmet off the guy giving me a hard time about my Confederate flag?
Yeah, that's me.
Did you love him? You might have said something to him because he came running. I've never seen him run like that. I mean, running to get to my truck. I wasn't criticizing you. Oh, that's good. Didn't ask you to.
Oh, I was listening to you, and you were touching on some critical points. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of people have forgotten about state rights. They have forgotten what the Civil War was all about. They don't understand that every time something gets passed, take, for example, DOMA being overturned by POTUS, the Supreme Court. It's about taking God out of marriage. And it goes further beyond that. It goes about taking liberty away. It goes, you know, actually what they did is they've taken people like you and myself, people that worship God, people that believe in the Constitution, people that believe in liberty, people that believe that this country was a beacon for the rest of the world, not democracy-wise, but missionary-wise, spreading the gospel, getting the truth out. They've taken it now and labeled us. People that are conservative, people that love the Lord, people that love the Constitution, people that love liberty and love state rights, we are now bigoted homophobes. That's what we are. You know, Scalia was right. 10 years ago when DOMA was passed, he said that in 10 years that we would be deciding on gay marriage. DOMA really opened up the Pandora's box. It opened up a door for gay marriage. And you know something? It's made it confusing now. This decision that the Supreme Court did has confused everything for everybody. Because, for instance, New York, the state of New York, they have gay marriage. Minnesota, gay marriage. Okay? Now that they have gay marriage, that means they get to enjoy all the federal liberties and all the federal rights that come with gay marriage. But, for example, you live in Minnesota and you are married by the state and you are homosexual, but you work across state lines, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, whatever. South Dakota doesn't have gay rights. North Dakota doesn't have gay rights. Iowa doesn't have gay... Or wait, does Iowa have gay marriage? I don't recall.
I think they do.
Okay. Well, it's just you, North Dakota and South Dakota and Wisconsin.
Yep.
If you are gay and you're married in Minnesota and you are employed in Wisconsin, in that state, you don't get the federal rights that come with being married. They just confused everything. So, now that they've confused everything, what do you think the next step is going to be? The next step is going to be somebody out there going to bring gay marriage before some court, and it'll go a step further and a step further, and then it'll head to some circuit court, one of the 9 circus courts that we have. They aren't circuit courts anymore. They're circus courts. They're all about establishing rulings from the bench. They're all about political advantage from the bench. We don't own the courts anymore. The socialists do. The communists do. We, the people in this country, we don't own the courts anymore. They've gotten control of them. So now somebody will bring some case forward where some state is discriminating against another state because, well, you know, it's legal gay marriage in Minnesota, but it's not legal in Wisconsin or South Dakota or North Dakota. You know, they're really discriminating against us. Don't you see that going through all the courts up to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, that's why I'm staying in North Dakota. You can't get me out of here because I can only imagine. I know. It's the domino effect, and, you know, this is what we've been fighting against for how long, is when progressive liberalism really takes a foothold and just completely shoves the rest of the country right into the ditch that they're trying to bury us in.
So every time we turn around, we're buckling under and we're losing another liberty, another freedom, aren't we?
Yep.
How much more are we going to stand and take? How much more are we going to allow this to happen? You know, we used to be a beacon of light. We used to be a beacon of truth. That's what we were about. We weren't about spreading democracy. By the way, if you let me sidebar here just a little bit.
Yes.
Democracy isn't really about being endemic. It's a theocracy. Because our country, the United States of America, we are a representative republic. That means we get to vote for people that we think along the same lines we do. And then we vote them into Congress or the Senate, which needs to be repealed. We just need to go back to the House of Representatives. And we ask them to make laws, and we rule by morality and the rule of law. Now, democracy, which we are not, and a lot of people need to have a civics lesson in this, because we are not a democracy. We are a representative republic. You know what a democracy is? Democracy is a majority of rules. Okay. So take you, Isabella, and another gentleman. Take 5 people. It's you and 4 other guys. In a democracy, this is a rather crude analogy of it, but this is what a democracy is. Take you and another guy. Take you and 4 other guys. All of a sudden,
yep.
3 of them decide they want to do something to that woman, you. They forget about the rule of law. They forget about morality. Well, in a democracy, those 3 outrule the other 2. Do you catch my drift?
Yep.
Those 3 decide that they're going to pass a law because they're the majority and they rule. Well, where does that lead? That leads to anarchy. So we're not in a democracy. We are in a representative republic. And that's what we're losing here this week with the Supreme Court doing what they're doing. They're taking God out of marriage. They're taking God out of the country. And the secularists are trying to turn this country into something that's spreading democracy. No, we're trying to spread freedom, liberty in Christ, liberty in God, liberty in to worship. I pontificated long enough.
No, I was telling everybody after I left the rig yesterday when And I talked about it on the show because, you know, the one thing that I, you know, the one thing that I've never really talked about a big part of my life. And, like, I was saying, although sometimes, like, when I say, you never know who you're talking to, you never know who you're going to meet. And I thought, how, you know, when we connected the dots of who you knew from my past.
Yeah.
But what drove my passion, though, was being around, as you and I both discussed, about the, you know, the mindset back there.
Yeah.
And, you know, my frustration and aggravation of never being taken seriously and never being validated in my beliefs.
Yeah.
Until I got to the oil field. You know, George Patton Jr. was one of the very first ones that sat back and said, where are you from? And, you know, nobody believed when I said, you know, Minneapolis. I mean, they said, it can't be. How did you last there? How did you not take out half the state? You know, that's why I said, let's talk about what, you know, on Monday, you're coming on a Monday at 7:30. And I said, I would like to have some of those figureheads that were sitting there over 5 years ago, 4 years ago, that were telling me I was wrong about all of this and say, well, what do you think now?
No, I've been thinking about this ever since we spoke yesterday. I've got a couple good analogies allegories on why I left Minnesota back in 86. I've come up with a couple of them. I've been thinking about this, and I'm really looking forward to talking to you Monday night about Minnesota and why I left and the mentality that I left behind.
Well, I can't wait. I've been telling everybody about it. We're now up at the top of the hour and the end of the show, but what a great way to end the show, to tell everybody to tune in on Monday, because I can, you know, I can give my story and where it all started for me and how, you know, when I look back, I can't even go back. I'm so allergic to that state. I even ripped it out of my atlas, my road atlas.
Oh, that's classic. I love it. All right.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. Well, get back to your chicken.
Thank you. Have a good evening. And God bless the American United States of America.
Good night.
Thank you.
God bless. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
One point if I could here is that the democracy is three wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. A republic is a well-armed sheep having the vote.
Well, we did our job tonight, Mark.
Yep, you sure
did
Bell, thanks.
Well, thank you, and thanks, everybody, for tonight. And I can't wait for Monday when I get to unleash myself on the madness, the insanity, the ridiculous, the retarded, the things that were actually said to me, everything comes full circle. And, you know, there's a time, a place, and a reason, and I just, you know, I want to thank my guest that's coming on Monday. I didn't come up with an alias. I meant to ask you, but anyways, tune in on Monday. Tell everybody that you run into, everybody, and I mean everybody, when you go into the gas station, when you go and get your groceries, when you get your Subway, wherever you go, tell everybody to tune in to the Bella D'Angelo Show. BellaDangelo.com, downloadable on an iPhone and a Droid, and I'm going to take it from here. Mark, thanks again. Thank you, everybody else, Aaron, Benjamin, Tom Garcia, and my Minnesota buddy, and I'm going to say goodnight. God bless. God bless America, and ciao for now.
Good night, Bella. We'll be right back.
have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey-changey stuff working out for you?
He's now our president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.